This morning we're going to go ahead and start in a passage of Scripture found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where we're going to find out something about the will of God for our lives, very specifically. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Thessalonian church, says, beginning with verse 15, he says, "See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Amplified in verse 18 again. "Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks. For this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will." So here we see clearly the Apostle Paul showing us some very basic instruction. You know, he didn't say to give thanks for everything. You know, if somebody does something mean to you and hurts you, you don't thank God that somebody was mean to you. But in the midst of whatever circumstance is, you always give thanks to God. Give thanks, rejoice, because his grace is sufficient no matter what it is you're going through. You know, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you in the middle of any storm, in the middle of anything. He is there. He loves you. His love is there. Inseparable love. There's so many things to give thanks, to keep that rejoicing attitude, spirit about it. Another thing, James chapter 1, kind of a similar type of scripture here. James chapter 1, verse 2. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Again, you're counting it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. Who are we rejoicing in? What are we rejoicing in when we're in trials? We don't glorify the trial. We're never called to glorify a trial. We always, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory." All glory always goes to God, 100%, period. So I am glorifying him in the midst of everything. I don't glorify people. I don't glorify circumstances. I glorify God in the middle of those. See, that's where your help comes from. Count it all joy when you fall into trials, testings, different things like that. Knowing the trial of your faith works, you're knowing something, that the trial of my faith is working patience. Patience. You know, patience is that word that, patience. But it's the power word. Because when you got patience working in your life, you know, somebody tries to hit the hot button and those buttons aren't working, you got patience, you got focus, you're looking to God. Praise God that you may be, pretty incredible promise, perfect and complete, lacking nothing. It doesn't mean that all your circumstances change, but patience is working in your life and you're focused in God, on God. These are scriptures that I've heard, you know, throughout my Christian walk. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. Count it all joy. So we know that up front. Things are going to go wrong. There's going to be situations where it's going to be, Jesus promised, in this world you'll have tribulation. So we know tribulation is going to happen. It does happen on different levels. We create it ourselves. Other people may create it for you. Sometimes just situations happen, whatever the case may be. Thank God. Oops, I'm sorry. In everything, give thanks. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. And these scriptures have blessed me through the years, I'll say, and at times they've bugged me through the years. Because a lot of times, if, you know, according to your feelings, the last thing you want to do, that you really want to do, is to be rejoicing and praising and doing those things. And yet, this is really, it's a faith thing, isn't it? It's totally a faith thing to begin to look up and begin to worship and to begin to rejoice and to begin to give thanks. I was, as I was kind of going through these scriptures, they reminded me one day of a song that I had heard. And if you guys are in any familiar with old movies or musicals, this will jump to your remembrance right away. It goes like, and this song just reminded me of what the Apostle James here is talking about, and Paul. It's called "Singing in the Rain." I'm singing in the rain. Just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling. I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart. Of course, we could S-O-N that one. The sun's in my heart, and I'm ready to love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain. I have a smile on my face. I'm walking down the lane with a happy refrain, just singing, singing in the rain. All right, this morning, the message is singing in the rain. If you're going to be a strong, overcoming Christian, you are going to learn how to sing in the rain. Singing in the rain. That's really what these scriptures are talking about, aren't they? Count it all joy when you fall into trials. A person who can sing in the rain, they don't have to wait for the rain to stop before they can sing. The rain doesn't have to stop in the clouds. I mean, we happen to have a pretty nice, glorious day today, but, you know, if it is cloudy, if it is overcast, the person who can sing in the rain, they can just sing right now, praise God, hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, when you look at scriptures, that thought of rejoice always, in everything, give thanks. It's like there's some things that you're supposed to do all the time. And giving thanks is one of those things. Rejoicing always. And we're going to just kind of look this morning at just a few examples of some storms that we can sing through, that we can sing in the midst of those storms, in the midst of that rain. First of all, singing in the rain of fear and anxiety, all right? Have you ever noticed sometimes fear, anxiety, it can rain. The Bible says the enemy goes about like a roaring lion, roaring, and it can kind of pound on you mentally. That's a storm. That's rain. But, thank God, we can sing in the rain of fear and anxiety. Psalm 34 puts it this way. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Praise God. Here's a guy that got delivered from the Lord. How did he do it? He just went before the Lord and to bless the Lord. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. So he's in the middle of a storm of fear, and he's making his boast in the Lord. What does that look like in real life? Praise God. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Yes, I don't know how everything's going to turn out, but I am not going to be controlled by fear. That's not God. Thank you, Lord. My boast is in you. My boast is in the spirit you gave me. You gave me a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I'm not boasting in myself. I'm not boasting in my great consecration. I'm not boasting in the trial. I'm boasting in what he's done in me. I'm boasting in his promise to me. I'm boasting in him. He's getting the glory. Thank you, Father, for giving me a spirit of power, a spirit of love, the spirit of a sound mind. Hallelujah. I don't even have to have a soundness in my mind and my own strength. The presence and the spirit of God, it has a soundness of mind about it. That when I yield to the Spirit and the presence of God, it brings a soundness and a peace to my mind. I bless you, Lord. Singing in the rain, beginning to declare what God has done for me. Here's what the Apostle Paul says in the New Testament. He puts it this way. Be anxious for nothing. Anxious means fear, anxiety. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Again, that verse 8 in the Amplified says, verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, just, pure, lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So here we see the Apostle Paul talking about anxiety. What do you do with anxiety? Do you have to feel guilty for being anxious about things? Not at all. Anxiety is common to man. It's going to come to you. But what do you do with it? He says, be anxious for nothing but. In everything, by prayer and supplication, we take anxious thoughts, we turn them into prayer requests, but you'll notice we do it with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. So I'm not just praying over something that I'm nervous about or worried about. I'm doing it with thanksgiving. That's that singing part. That's that declaring in the rain, praise God. I see it, Lord. Not only do I ask you for this or wisdom or, you know, I might be in a situation where I just don't know what to do next. And so I'm taking my anxiety and I'm turning it into a prayer request for wisdom where James says, do any of you lack wisdom? Let him ask of God who gives all liberally. Okay, Father, here we go. I need to know some stuff I don't know right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask for wisdom. And I thank you that you give to all liberally and you don't withhold it. I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful to your promise and that I will know what I need to know when I need to know it. You are good. You're right. You're faithful. Praise God. And when that thought comes back, I think, well, praise God. I've made my prayer request. I've declared that. What happens when we do that? It doesn't mean that the circumstance clears up, but something happens, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard two things, your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That spirit of a sound mind that eliminates the fear. When you don't have a sound mind, you have a fearful mind. When you have a sound mind, you have a peaceful mind. And what the Spirit of God does, he has a way of coming upon your mind and keeping it sound in him. But there's something that we do. We're singing in the rain. We're taking those anxious thoughts. We're turning them into prayer requests. We're letting God know, praise God, our trust is in you. We're looking to you, Father. And then finally, 1 John 4:18 puts it this way. It says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Amplified, it says, there's no fear in love. Dread doesn't exist. But full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. And so, he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, is not yet grown into love's complete perfection. You know, one of the great way, and, you know, verse 18 again, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. You know, we're talking about singing in the rain this morning. We're talking about, by faith, counting it all joy, rejoicing in everything. How can I find something to rejoice in the middle of these trials? How can I do that? You know, the scripture is so clear, so full of his promises. We really rejoice in the promises of the word of God. And Jody was talking about it this morning, about setting the affection on things above. There's a lot of noise down here in the world, spiritual noise, that is, in worldly thoughts and wisdom. When we set our mind on things on the earth, it's very difficult to hear. But when we begin to set our mind on things above, whether it's raining or not raining, boy, the frequency and the words and the Holy Spirit begins to come through. It's an amazing thing. You might be needing an answer for a specific thing, but when you just generally look up and praise God, just generally give him thanks and praise, it tunes your spirit in to hear that specific thing you need. And sometimes you want that specific thing, just tune in generally. Tune into the radio station. They'll play your song eventually. Okay? But you got to be tuned in if you're going to get it, right? You can't just hope to tune in when they're playing it. You just tune in, and eventually that song's going to come on, the air. That's the way we got to be spiritually, too. But we got to be tuned in. We got to be looking up spiritually. And as we do, man, things are going to begin to happen. You know, last week we had a message called Get Back Up Again, but really what we were talking about is the fact that you can be perplexed and not get into despair. Paul said, I'm perplexed. According to my calculations, this shouldn't have happened. I mean, think about Paul. There was times in the middle of his missionary journey, he said, come on, gang, we're going to Bithynia. God wants us to preach the gospel. They're going, stop, oh, wait. The Spirit forbade him. I don't know what that looked like. Maybe brother so-and-so prophesied, and Paul's spirit bear witness, and that's right. Got him back. Okay, it's not Bithynia, it's Asia Minor. Let's go, gang. Going on to Asia Minor. Oh, stop, oh. Turn around. It's not Asia Minor either. You know, this is in Acts 15, I believe. And you go, and then finally, Paul has that dream, the Macedonian dream of the Macedonians. Say, come over to us. Oh, got the dream. Okay, here's the direction. I mean, there's times when the Apostle Paul's doing his best to follow after God, and he thinks this is God, and he's probably a little perplexed. Boy, I thought that was God. But what does he say? We're perplexed sometimes, but we're not in despair. You can be perplexed without going into despair. You can be perplexed and say, I'm perplexed right now at that level. And it can cause anxiety. But Lord, I'm coming back. I'll let my request be made known to you. I'm not getting into despair. I'm not going in. See, perplexity is either a jumping off point for despair or it's a jumping off point for humbling yourself under his mighty hand and getting the wisdom you need to go on. It's an inflection point. Perplexity doesn't mean you've missed it. It means we all experience that. But that's where we've got to make a decision. And a big part of really, you know, one of the greatest ways that you can get delivered from fear is go to where love is. And fear won't be there. You know, the throne of grace, where there's mercy and grace to help in your time of need, that's what the scripture said. Come boldly to the throne of grace, where the presence of God, the presence of love is. And so many times, when you're singing in the rain, just a big part of it, instead of trying to work out the perplexities of the thing that, I'm going to go to where love is. I'm going to go to the throne of grace. Praise God. I'm going to linger there. Kind of like what we did this morning. You come here with some issues, questions. Not that all your issues, questions are perfectly resolved right now, but there's some substance of the spiritual strength in you. There's mercy and grace that get imparted to your spirit, and it's helping you. It's keeping your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Spiritual things are real. The throne of grace is real. It's a real place that we come to. And we can sing. We can sing in the rain. I love the song that we sing. I will run to you, to your words of truth. That's what you're doing. You're running to him, running to the words of truth. I'm running to those words, praise God, that I have not been given a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I'm running to those words that I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me. I'm running to those words that he always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. I'm running to words of truth. That's singing in the rain. That's counting it all joy. But you'll notice in the trial, it's Jesus, God. The Bible says, as we behold him, we're changed from glory to glory. So I'm not beholding the trial. I'm not fixed on my trial. I'm looking to him, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, the one who began this good work and the one who's going to be faithful to complete it. But my fix and my gaze is on him. And he gets all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. As you keep your eyes on him, you just be walking through those trials. But your eyes are on him. Praise God. It's like, wow, hallelujah. Lord, help me to not change my gaze, keeping your mind on things above. But there's a singing in the rain where we're running to him, we're going where love is, we're lifting up, praise God, the promises of his word. And I love that where it says, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. It reminds me, too, of something Jesus told his disciples. He said, have faith in God. Whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore, when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. Believe that you receive it. What does that look like in real life? What does it look like to believe that you receive something, and then you shall have it? It means you're believing before you have it. Hebrews 1 puts it this way. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is not just the substance of anything. Faith is the substance of something very specific. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You see it. I see that relationship free, clear. I see the finances free, clear. I see that physical condition free, clear. Whatever it is, the hope is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith isn't hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is that act. It's that believing you receive, and then you shall have it. It's the believing. And one of the ways you express that belief is through thanksgiving. It's one of the most powerful ways that you begin to express your faith. I thank you, Father, that if I ask anything according to your will, I know that you hear me. And if I know that you hear me, I know that I have the petitions that I have desired of you. You are faithful to your word, Lord. I rejoice. I give thanks. What am I doing? I'm singing in the rain before my prayer request is answered. You said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened unto you. So far I've knocked. Before it gets opened, I'm rejoicing in your faithfulness to open that door. That's why we don't just throw up a prayer any old way. We pray with thanksgiving, believing that we receive. It's faith. Somebody who's singing in the rain is singing in faith, and they look crazy to everybody else, right? But you know what you're doing. You know in whom you've believed, and you're fully persuaded he's able to keep that which you've committed to him. Those prayer requests, those things. Praise God. So there is a singing in the rain, as it were, of his word, of his promises. Then, not only singing in the rain of the fear and anxiety, but also singing in the rain of, we'll say, persecution. In case you haven't noticed it, persecution against the church is stepping up in these last days. There is all kind of persecution that we are having to deal with and go through. And I've been in this non-denominational move now for about 30 years. I mean, it was 84 when I technically, started going to my first non-denominational church. But I've seen something. I've had 30 years to kind of sit and observe the church in different things and observe myself as I've engaged in different things in the church. The church is going to get persecuted. Jesus put it this way. He said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. And it's been interesting to see our approach toward persecution. And this is an important thing, especially when it comes to singing in the rain. We can sing in the rain of persecution. I've seen people respond differently. I mean, you can have a chip on your shoulder, be angry, seething, bitter, unfair, 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 unfair. And if that's what Jesus told us to do, man, I'd be the first one to say that's what we should do. But Jesus gives us some very specific instructions about how we're to face and handle and deal with persecution. Again, it requires faith. Being bitter and angry and unfair and unfair requires no faith. The sinner's doing that opposite you. You're doing the same thing together. You're walking like a mere man. We're not mere men and women. We're born again creations, new creations. And we have different instructions how do we live this kingdom life. This is what Jesus said. He said, as it relates to singing in the rain of persecution, he said, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Just because they know you're one of those Christians. That's what it means. Okay? For my sake. They know you're one of those born again Christians. Da, da, da. Okay? So we're on the same page. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Here's the verse 11, 12. I believe this is the message. Not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they're uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even. For though they don't like it, I do, all heaven applauds and know that you are in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble. When you're in the rain of persecution, you got to look up and hear that applause in heaven, don't you? You got to know God's pleased with you, right? You can't look, and because if you asphyxiate on things on the earth. Let me put it this way. If your comfort is in the nightly news, and I'm talking your favorite kind of news, if your comfort's there, no, it's still on things on the earth. Let me just say this out here. Let me just say this prophetically for whoever might need this. Don't let the nightly news take the place of your devotion time with the Lord. There are things you're not going to hear on the nightly news that are in the Word. I'm talking about your favorite news, that you need the Word. You need the Word of God if you're going to live spiritually. The nightly news does not represent the Church of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't. And we don't exalt the news or broadcast or any specific news organization and let it replace the Word of God in our life. If we do, we'll miss it. Because you'll have your mind set on things on the earth in a way that you don't realize. See, only this word can divide asunder the soul and the spirit. The nightly news can't. They can tell you what happens, and they can report it in certain ways. But I'm telling you what, when it comes to persecution, we got to be in the Word. We got to be in the Spirit. We got to be looking up. We got to be looking at this. We got to be looking at the instructions of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you do things His way, there will be an anointing, and there will be a power on you that will change the world. You see, God can change the world in 5 seconds. Things can happen. He just needs people that are yielded to Him and to the Spirit of God. The wrath of man does not produce the righteous purpose of God. I don't care how mad you get. I don't care how loud you get. I don't care if you throw chairs across the room. The world is not going to sit and go, oh, wow, we need to live right. No, it's when people are focused into God, rejoicing, doing things His way, things happen. We see this in the early church. The apostles, I mean, miracles happen. What do? They haul them off into prison, and this is what happened to them. You know, as they left, it says, and they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And this was the apostles' response. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Do you notice their focus never got on their persecutors? It's like they weren't even there. Wow, thank you, Lord. They're doing this, aren't they? They're given a cheer. They know heaven's applauding what they're doing, and they just keep doing what God's called them to do. No chip on their shoulder. Just loving God and fulfilling the word of God. Praise God. What a sweet spirit. You can sing in the reign of persecution, is what we're saying. I don't have to get in my little bitterness merry-go-round and be frustrated and even, this is not even, it's not fair, it's not fair. Oh, man, not burning up any more years doing that. I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to rejoice because at the end of the day, it's about going into all the world and preaching the gospel. And if you find yourself hating the people you're supposed to reach the gospel with, the enemy's got you right where he wants you. Your spirit's off. And people can tell your spirit's off. But when your spirit stays right, and they go daily preaching, and they weren't preaching, those Pharisees, they didn't have a chip on their shoulder against the Pharisees. They were just lifting up Jesus, preaching the gospel. They had a purity of spirit about it. They didn't have that ugly spirit on them. They had a real sweet spirit on them. No, and remember when the disciples told Jesus, Jesus and the disciples were going through a town, they were persecuting, mocking, making fun of Jesus, and the disciples got so mad and said, oh, should we call fire down on these people like Elijah did, Jesus? Do you want us to call fire down on them? What did Jesus say? He looked and said, you don't know what spirit you're of. They're angry, and they're trying to spiritually justify their anger. And you get a wrong spirit. But when you properly handle persecution, say, okay, praise God. You know, Peter, he just says, hey, an employer-employee relationship. If you've got an employer who's really mean to you, but you keep a sweet, right spirit and kind, he says, man, when your conscience is during grief wrongfully, that's a blessed thing before God. He esteems that. You know, he understands when we're being persecuted. He understands when we're being talked bad about. And that's what Jesus said, rejoice. The prophets went through the same thing. But we got to keep our spirit right. So if I'm singing in the rain of persecution, I'm still in a place where I can share Jesus with people. Praise God. That's what God wants us to do. Here we see, of course, the Apostle Paul. Same deal when he was preaching in Philippi. What was his crime? He got a girl delivered from demon possession. So they threw him in jail. And it said they laid many stripes on them. They threw them into prison, commanded the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison, fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing in the rain. Praise God. They were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake. So the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors opened and everyone's chains were loose. This is what I mean by doing things God's way. He didn't start a society or a program or anything. He just began to sing in the rain. And in 5 minutes, God can do what you're trying to do in the natural for years and years and years and years and beyond. That's why the scripture says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. If what you're doing, you're saying, is in the name of the church, you better make sure your Lord is leading you and guiding you in it. And not spiritualized anger. We're talking about singing in the rain of persecution this morning. We got to do things Jesus' way. We got to do things his way. Isn't that the way our life is? Our life bumps up against this book. And after, yeah, I've had things 5 years later, yeah, this is right. It's like, uncle, okay. You know, my brother would pin us to the ground and he'd have our dog come and lick our mouths, you know, my older brother. He'd say, here, Sparkles, come here. And go, no, no. And until I said uncle, then I was fine, you know. Then I could get up and I wouldn't have to, but I have to show him the respect, big brother. Well, you kind of play the games and you do things your way a few times, and I've had some uncle inflection points, and this has been one of them. I'm not going to live out the rest of my precious few years here down here being bitter in circles. Nah, I'm going to rejoice, be exceedingly glad. If I'm persecuted, thank you, Lord, for it. Hallelujah. I'm going to sing in the rain of persecution. And when you, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself here. But when you can sing in the rain of persecution, what does it do? It keeps your spirit open for miracles to happen. And when something like that happens, what gets the credit and the glory? My program, my situation, my deal, no, just God gets the glory. What are we talking about? Trial, circumstance? God always gets the glory, the praise, the honor. Always, 100% of the time. Even in these persecution situations. Sometimes we can figure out a way to get out of things that brings glory to ourselves and our own consecration and different things like that, or program or whatever I did. Nope, we're doing things God's way. It's a faith way. Praise God. And when we do that, you can be glad when that happens, even give a cheer. For though they don't like it, I do. All heaven applauds. But you only get that when your affection is set on things above. If you're going to hear that applause, your mind's got to be on things above, doesn't it? And this is where I'm saying about the news. It's fine to be in the know as far as what's going on, all right? But your hope better be in the Lord. your trust. You better be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Prayer better be in there somewhere. You understand? And prayers and singing and doing those things, you're putting feet to your hope. People have different ways of putting feet to their hope. And there's different ways God can do things and raise things up. And he can raise things up in the political realm. And it can be good and it can be God. And there can be people trying to copycat things that have been done before. And it's not good and it's not God. You've got to discern. As you're engaging in things. And as you're engaging in the affairs of life. Is this God? Is this God? Don't ever let anybody force you or manipulate you into doing something that you don't have a piece about doing. It's always right to do this. Praise God. Look up. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to keep a sweet spirit. I'm going to keep a good spirit about me. And when I approach people, it's not going to be like that. I don't know what spirit of them. I do know what spirit I am of. I'm of his spirit. My trust is in him, and I'm singing in the rain, because even when I am persecuted, praise God, I know that heaven applauds. And that he is there and is there for me. So finally, we're going to talk about singing in the rain of depression. This can seem like how do you sing in the rain of depression? If you've ever experienced depression, most of you have. Most of you have. We all have at some levels. I know they categorize it clinical depression or mild depression or different things like that. But if you've ever been at a place in your mind where it's like checkmate, of the mind, and everything you do is wrong, there's nowhere to go. It's kind of that perplexity that leads to despair, we talked about before, and you experience the despair and go down that path. If you're human, you've lived very long, you've been there. You know what that's like to just go, oh, what am I going to do? Oh, praise God. We can sing in the rain of depression. In other words, no matter how dark the hole gets, no matter how deep the pit goes, it's not dark enough, it's not deep enough to keep the power and the love and the grace of God out. The psalmist said, where could I go from your presence? Wherever I go, you're there. You're there. And I'll tell you what, we can sing in the rain again by faith in the middle of depression and begin to experience a powerful deliverance. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 42:5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I love this. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Guy's in a dark place. He's in the pit. Checkmate of the mind. But he's talking himself into singing in the rain. You can see it. Come on. Come on. You know better than this. God's been faithful to you. You know, sometimes those psalmists would just recount the blessings. They would remember those past blessings to encourage and inspire them to get back up and go on. His mercy endures forever. That means at any time you can get back up and pick up where you left off and go on. He's just encouraging himself. There are times you're going to have to encourage yourself in the Lord like this. But you can. You can do it. You can say, okay, here we go. I don't feel anything. I don't see anything. The problem with feelings, you know, you can't take a spiritual inventory with your natural senses. Have you noticed that? Your feelings don't have intelligence. They're responders. I remember the first time experiencing God's love and peace and forgiveness and feeling, wow, this is cool, this is great. And I also remember indulging my flesh, feeling, wow, cool, this is great. Emotions will bear witness to the flesh or the spirit, all right? Feelings can be an amen corner to either one. It depends on where you set your mind. So you're looking to your feelings for guidance, for assurance, and your feelings are looking at you. Where are you going to set your mind next? Because that's where we're going to respond. Well, I'm probing for a feeling. It's not there. I must be wrong. I must be, oh, I just sit on things. No, your feelings are just waiting. They're waiting for instructions on how to feel. And that's why when you begin to talk yourself into setting your mind on things above, like we did this morning. We just on purpose began to worship and praise God. May have been some feelings this morning that accompanied that. They were just responding to where you were setting your mind. And they will always respond. They are not the directors. They don't contain the intelligence. They're the responders. Emotions, feelings are the responders to where you decide to set your mind, to where you decide to do it. You know, it reminds me of a story of a guy who came into a doctor, or pastor, and he just said, you know, I've got emotional problems. He says, you know, I get up in the morning and first thing I do is I don't want to get out of bed because I'm afraid of all the stuff that I got to do and I can't get through my to-do list. I finally do get out of bed and sure enough, the phone rings and all of a sudden I can't get things done on time and then I'm frustrated and angry at people, you know, because of things happen. And then, you know, by the end of the day, I'm worried about tomorrow because I know that now I got twice as much that I had to do today. And the pastor minister looked at him and said, no, you don't have an emotional problem. He said, your emotions are working perfect. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to do. They're responding to where you're setting your mind. That's why, what does Romans say? It almost simplifies it to where it's so simple. It says, to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. You mean just mindedness? Yeah. Where you set your mind, it's a big deal. It really matters. And we're talking about arising, you know, talking about depression here. When I'm going to sing in the rain, what am I doing? I'm really setting my affection on things above. I'm really setting my mind on things above. And it's amazing. Like I said here this morning, you probably experienced something emotionally. It was simply responding to where you were setting your mind. Here's a great promise. Isaiah 61. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Amplified. Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine. Be radiant with the glory of God. For your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Praise God. You know, that is just a decision, isn't it? I'm going to arise, shine, for my light has come. I love that. Whether it's shining outside or not, I'm going to shine. That's really the key to getting out of depression. I'm not looking for a light. I'm going to be the light. I'm going to let the light of God's word shine in me and shine through me, and that light is going to shine in me, and I'm going to find my way out through the light that shines in me. Arise, shine. The one thing I can control is where I set my mind, and I will set, even if I don't feel like it. And I'll tell you, when you're in depression, setting your mind on things above, you got to get past, and you can, by faith, some very jaded complexes. Because a lot of times the reason your mind isn't set on things above is your mind has been set on things above. You got perplexed because things didn't happen the way they should, and then it got into despair and depression. And so I don't want to set my mind on things again because I'm going to get perplexed and then despair and depression. Wrong. You set your mind on things above again. Will you get perplexed again? Yeah, you will. But you don't have to get in despair about it, like Paul said. No, I'm going to look up in the midst of my perplexion and not get in despair. I'm going to let my request be made known unto him. I'm going to sing in the rain, and I'm going to keep my mind on things above. Praise God. And you do it. As you do it, things will begin to turn. You will begin to arise. It's like that hot water faucet you have that never gets hot right away. We got a couple of those. We'll turn it on. It's cold. Should be hot by now. But you know what? Eventually, it does get hot. When you're in that place mentally and emotionally, and you begin to, by faith, set your mind on things above, the band doesn't strike up, the sun doesn't start shining. You're doing it by faith, knowing it's going to get hot. You're doing it by faith. I'm singing in the rain by faith. Wherever you've been in the Lord, somebody put it to me this way, a teacher at Rhema said, wherever you've been in the Lord spiritually, that place that you remember being, you can always get back there because you got there in the first place. That's profound. It's true. Yeah. You got there before. You can get there again. It's not part of the old glory days. No. It's part of where you're picking up where you left off to go on from glory to glory to glory. Amen. You're not done going from glory to glory. Amen. But praise God, we can arise from that place of depression, be radiant with the glory of God. I'm going to shine. I just decided I'm not waiting for the tape or the book or the person or the prophet. I'm just going to set my mind on things above and start shining. That's the one. I'm going to be spiritually minded, and I'm going to go through the jadedness of those arguments and thoughts that would try to keep me, and I'm going to keep staying spiritually minded. And what happens here? When you give, it's amazing how healing of the brokenhearted happens while you're giving thanks. How does that work? You're expecting God to do some special stuff. You just give thanks in the midst of this stuff. And something about that, what it is, it's humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. It's really humility. And what the Bible says, he gives grace to the humble. And there's something about humbling. God knows your situation. All things are naked and open. He understands those four layers of jaded victim complexes that you're having to cut through to get back to where you were. He knows that. But when he sees you persistently, staying with it, staying with it, I will bless the Lord at all times. All his praise will continually be in my mouth. We're going through another layer here. I'll tell you, it just unleashes the grace of God and the strength of God. And all of a sudden, it's like, you know how you have a limb that kind of falls asleep and it's kind of pin prickly and it's discomfortable? It's at first, it's almost like a little discomfort, but then it's like the blood flows. It's like consciousness comes back. Your identity of who you are, consciousness comes back. And who God, you know, God loves me, God is for me. And all those things are not little points of little sarcastic. They're real and they're life, and there's life flowing through those promises again. They're not the enemy using them against me. It's life. But there's humility that happens in there. Oh, there is an arising. What are we talking about? We're talking about singing in the rain. Why is it outcast on my soul? Put your hope in God. Talking to himself. Trying to convince himself. Do it. Things haven't changed. God is real. Spiritual things are real. Believe, and things begin to happen. This is a psalm. Psalm 126 puts it this way. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, our tongue was singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we're glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Praise God. I've had that happen where I've sowed in tears at night and have woken up with joy and peace and the presence of God. But I'm telling you what, I know that direction. When that captivity is turned, it's like, whoa, praise God, here we are. Thank you, Lord. You know, he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the rock that is higher now. He is that fixed point. I'm just going to close with a song. I love this song. To me, it's just a song of this kind of arising out of depression. It goes like this. It says, I want to start it over. I want to start again. I want a new beginning, one without an end. I feel it inside, calling out to me. It's a voice that whispers my name. It's a kiss without any shame. Something beautiful, like a song that stirs in my head, singing love will take us where something's beautiful. I've heard it in the silence. I've seen it on a face. I've felt it in a long hour, like a sweet embrace. I know this is true. It's calling out to me. It's like a voice that whispers my name. It's a kiss without any shame. It's something beautiful, like a song that stirs in my head. Singing love will take us where something is beautiful. It's a child on her wedding day. It's a daddy that gives her away. Something beautiful. When we laugh so hard we cry, it's the love between you and I. Something beautiful. Isn't it just a sweet, it's sweet fellowship with God. No, I'm not perfect. Ugh. I'm growing. But I love God. I'm in fellowship with him. I'm pointing up. I'm singing in the rain. No matter what comes against me. Think of Daniel in the lion's den. He was singing in the rain. So many different stories that you can look at. People where they looked up. They weren't looking to their program. They were looking to the arm of flesh. They were looking up, and their hope and their trust was in God. And they could sing. They could sing in the rain of fear and anxiety. We're singing songs of thankfulness. Lord, I thank you. I believe I receive it, and I have it. I know you are faithful, Father God. I'm trusting in you. Of persecution, I'm singing songs of praise to God. Thank you, Lord. Let me just say, fear of anxiety, I'm singing songs of thankfulness, and I'm also going to where love is. I'm going where that presence of God is that drives out the fear and anxiety. I'm looking up. Songs of persecution, singing songs of praise to God. I'm hearing the applause of heaven when I take my stand, and I'm keeping a sweet spirit about me. I'm not getting a chip on my shoulder. Yeah, I'm going to get persecuted. Hardly acknowledge the persecutors going on to the next place and teaching and preaching. Keeping my focus, keeping our eye on the ball. What's the Great Commission? To go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the commission that we were given. Absolutely it is. Yes, there's principles where we are restraining unrighteousness, we're a standard of righteousness. The commission is to preach the gospel. That's the goal. You are ultimately down here to be a part of the body communicating. Why are you here today? Somebody loved you in your unlovely state and reached out to you. And that's the way we've got to be too. The Bible says, while we were sinners, Christ loved us. While other people are sinners, we need to love them. That reaching out in the middle of persecution, we keep our spirit right and good. and our focus up, singing. Of depression, singing songs of hope and deliverance, knowing, praise God, that no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, thank God he, by his hand, will lift you up. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it's greater than the law of sin and death. He that is in you is greater than he that's in this world. That's a powerful truth. The anointing, the Holy Spirit, you need not that anyone teach you. That anointing teaches you all things. No matter how deep the pit, no matter how dark it is, the way out is when you begin to look up and stay up and stay up and stay up, and you will begin to come up. Praise God in the strength of your spirit. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you this morning, Father, that no matter what we're going through, no matter what the storm type may be, these are just a few kinds of storms, but that we can count it all joy. In everything, we can give thanks. We can truly sing in the rain. You've given us something to sing about. You've given us the promises of your word. You've given us spiritual insight, Lord, to be able to see past the surface of this natural world, to see past the surface into those strings that pull the puppeteers of this world, and to understand, Father, the big picture. Help us, Lord. Help us to look up. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith, if your heart can agree with this. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I'm going to sing in the rain. Fear and anxiety will not get me down. I look up and I sing songs of thankfulness. I let my requests be made known, knowing you're faithful to your word. The spirit of power, the spirit of love, the spirit of a sound mind is your spirit in me. I reject the spirit of fear. I will sing in the rain of persecution. I will not allow my persecutor to tarnish my spirit. I will forgive him. I'll rejoice, and I'll go on doing what you've called me to do. I will sing in the rain of depression. No matter how loud the enemy roars, the lion of the tribe of Judah roars louder. You are greater than he that's in this world, greater than any pit or trap. My help comes from you, Lord. I will tune in to your station and keep it there. I will fight off the static and stay tuned in past the jadedness, past the sarcasm. My heart will be humbled and I'll receive that grace that restores life and expression. Lord Jesus, today's my day, the day I call upon your name. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Many things I don't understand, but one thing I choose to believe. You love me. I receive that love now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, if that's the first time you ever prayed the second part of that prayer, we just want to say welcome to the family. That's all you can do. You know, you come to church services like this year after year,